This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
If Florida State will win national championships and ACC championships.
It's caught! Touchdown official, Calvin Benjamin!
Back to some basics. Consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Game over! Those are the champions of college football!
Jameis, why? Jameis, no! No! No!
This is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Little quieter host than usual today, as I recently had throat surgery and really shouldn't be doing a whole lot of this sort of thing at the moment, but you know what? Duty calls. And joining me today and doing a little bit more of the talking than usual is going to be Wayne McGahee III. Trey, good to have you with us, and why don't we go ahead and get started on updating on how things have been so far in the spring. So let's start with the immediate question. Let's talk about a little bit about the quarterback position. Obviously, Florida State replacing a generational talent in Jameis Winston. What have you heard? What have you seen so far this spring? And how discouraged should we be at this point? Well, and I've got also some things to add in this once we get a little further.
Well, unfortunately for all Florida State fans that are listening to this and all the ones that aren't, Jameis Winston is not walking back through that door, and there is not a Jameis Winston on the roster. So people need to – you need to understand this. You need to go in with tempered expectations. The quarterback position is not going to be the playmaking position this year.
Thank you, by the way, Rick Pitino.
Sean McGuire is a – capable quarterback. He makes the right decisions, and that's why he's ahead of everybody else. It's not because he has great physical tools. It's the reason that he's ahead of guys like John Franklin and JJ Cosentino, and apparently DeAndre Johnson, is because he makes the right decisions. But JJ has more tools. He's physically more built. He's got a better arm, but right now he's just not putting it together upstairs as well as he needs to be. And John Franklin sometimes makes bad decisions. He's the best athlete of the group. There's no point blank hands down. He's the best athlete of the group, but he makes a lot of bad decisions with the football, and it's costing him.
Yeah, the thing that I've been basically, as I understand it, at this point, right now, Florida State does not have a quarterback the way that I think Florida the observers, people who've watched Florida State and Florida State fans have become accustomed to the last few years. I mean, going back to Christian Ponder, between Ponder and EJ Manuel and Winston, you know, each of those guys had struggles at different points, but they were each first round draft picks at the quarterback position. You got to go back, now over 6 years really to get the most comparable situation to what I think you're going to see this year based on what I've been told. And that's, you know, something more along the lines of Drew Weatherford. Where you're looking at very limited, somebody who, you know, basically the level of anticipation that you've got on a guy like Christian Ponder that allows a player like that who doesn't have elite tools to play like to be a first round type quarterback. McGuire, even though when he's making the right decisions, doesn't have that kind of anticipation. He's not throwing guys open. He's not, you know, accurate like that with a guy like Ponder. You've got that. Even where you have, especially after the injuries, Ponder had some physical limitations, but his anticipation and his grasp of where things were enough to make him a really quality quarterback anyway. And right now there isn't one of those guys on the roster. What I have been told is that, first of all, that I wouldn't be surprised to see John Franklin have a role. That is, you know, to have some packages where he comes in and actually, you know, does some specific things. So, you know, basically read option type stuff for Franklin. I would not be surprised if those packages are actually in place. I'd actually be a little bit surprised at this point if they aren't. And we saw a little bit of that when again, when Drew Weatherford was the quarterback, we saw Fisher bringing in some packages, some guys who could do those things, whether it was Xavier Lee or whether it was doing some, you know, Preston Parker at quarterback and some of these other things. Fisher trying to find ways to make that position a little bit more of a threat. I think you'll see John Franklin doing some of that this year. The other thing that I've been told is that the guy that's really been most impressive, in terms of actually doing the things that look like a Florida State quarterback, is DeAndre Johnson, which he's limited. I mean, he's 5'11 and a half, you know, maybe. He's not a big kid, you know, and you can't teach that. You can't teach size. There's nothing you can do about that. He's not a big kid. He does not have a great arm, but what I've been told is that the kid just really gets it in terms of anticipation. He throws guys open and he's consistently in the right spots. He's just also a true freshman, so he's far enough behind that as of right now, he's not catching anybody in terms of, you know, he's not going to be the starter. But I'm told that he's pushed for that second role, in a way that is sort of surprising. So in a lot of ways discouraging, because you hope to have other guys in the program that are far enough ahead that it doesn't matter, with those things. And it opens up the door for some interesting discussions once the fall begins, you know, obviously with DeAndre Francois coming in. And some other things. It's going to be interesting. But either way, the drop off to the quarterback position, I think, may end up being a little bit worse than what most people have hoped coming into this year. I think it's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride based on what we've seen and what we're gathering.
I think that first of all, you know, we'll get into some better things. Florida State fans, don't go jump off a cliff just yet. I know it's all doom and gloom right now, but the good news is that the quarterback does not have to carry this team this year.
Right. Well,
this guy who's wearing number 4 that'll be able to put the team on his shoulders and be ready to roll.
Yeah, the 96 team had, Thad Busby was not a great quarterback and was limited, but that 96 team was still pretty good. So, there's precedent for that. The problem there, though, gets back to, this is going to be a really, really good offensive line. I don't think there's any way around that. It's, you know, no matter what, it's going to be good. But the question is whether or not there's going to be a limiting factor right in the middle. And that's a real concern right now, because frankly, right now, Florida State doesn't have a center.
It's Eberle, from what I've been told, is not ready to, he's not ready to take this role. He needs at least another year. You have Hofeld, who's getting no reps right now.
Who also needs another year.
Who arguably also needs another year, more than likely needs another year. He's getting no reps right now. He's not able to work out. He's not able to leave his house. I mean, he's getting nothing other than watching.
Have you been hanging outside Hofeld's house to check on him, Trey? Have you been checking on whether or not he actually can leave his house?
Of course.
Okay, well, that right there is the kind of investigative reporting we do at Noel Digest and the Unconquered Podcast. So thank you for that. That is dedication to the craft. But anyway, yeah, it's discouraging knowing that there's no center on the roster right now. You know, again, Florida State's recruited Matt Haggerty from Notre Dame, who really is average. I mean, he's not a great player. He's pretty average, but he's an improvement on what's on the Florida State roster right now at that position. They pushed for him pretty hard, but right now there's at this point in the program, the thought is that he's probably going to go elsewhere, largely because he was not promised the position. And, you know, Jimbo Fisher wouldn't promise Tom Brady the starting quarterback position if he signed up right now. So obviously that's just not how he does things. But Haggerty apparently didn't appreciate that and may end up at Michigan. But you know, if you're a Florida State fan, that's, I think, the best hope is that you get that graduate transfer and that fills the spot. Otherwise, I think they may have to really consider finding another option similar to a Cam Irving move. Whether it be a Mavetti or maybe a Kelly or somebody moving into the interior, because I think that that's going to be a potential problem despite the fact that I think the rest of the offensive line, even though they're losing a lot of guys, may end up being actually a little bit better. It's actually a little bit more athletic group overall than the group that's departing, of whom maybe four of those guys are going to get drafted this year. So it's going to be very interesting to see. But I think it's going to be a good run-blocking offensive line. It's just a matter of whether there's going to be a little bit of a weakness at that center position.
It's definitely a question. As you said, Haerty is definitely the best option. I mean, even an average player in the center position that actually gets a snap back there and doesn't, you know, make too many mistakes with this offensive line and the running backs that Florida State have would be completely fine. What you don't need is basically a turnstile like, you know, we saw last year. I mean, Florida State, you've seen what good center play is. And Brian Stork, you saw what bad center play is with Austin Barron and Ryan Hofeld at the beginning of the year, and then you saw what good center play was with Cam Irving. I mean, you
arguably
see the
great
difference.
Center play with Irving.
So,
but at any rate, let's move into the next phase, and before everybody jumps off a cliff, on some of the things that we've seen aside from Cook that are good signs so far this year, some of the things that we've seen and heard. And really this is, at this point, this spring has been about trying to find playmakers, guys who can be difference makers like what you've had on this roster, guys who change momentum, who make splash plays to change games. And right now, there aren't a lot of those players on the roster who've proven that they can do that, but there are a few guys that have the chance to become those guys right away. So who's stuck out at this point?
I mean, we could go all day. We could have our own podcasts, you know, an hour long about how good Dalvin Cook has been. So we already know what we have in him. I'm going to move on to.
And we already know we've got, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Aguayo. Those are the three guys at this point that really, you know you have playmakers. But right now you've got to have more than three if you're going to be a successful team, if you're going to be a championship team for sure.
From what I was told today, Jacquez Patrick is going to be your short yardage back. I was told that if you give him the ball three times inside the 15, that he's going to score 9 out of every 10 times. Doesn't matter who's going up against him. So obviously the coaches, the graduate assistants, everybody likes what they see in Jacquez Patrick. I mean, early enrollee, freshman, 6'1", 230 pounds, and he just runs through people.
Yeah, he's been more explosive than expected, I think.
If you didn't get to see the vine of him running through, albeit a walk-on, it was a walk-on, but he just absolutely obliterated the kid. If you didn't get to it, I'm sorry, it's been taken down now. He probably got reprimanded for posting it because
he
kind
of
sold the walk-on.
Yes, he did.
So, freshman mistake, but it was still a great hit, and I expect to see a lot out of that this coming up season. Then you also have Mario Pender. The knock on Pender is that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. If Pender can stay healthy, he'll be a major part of this year's offense, and he'll be able to spell Cook, you know.
A healthy Pender's dang near as good as Cook, to be honest.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I know he's pretty good, but
he's dang near as good as, I'm telling you, if you look at the film, at some of the stuff early last season when he was healthy, he's not far from Cook when he's healthy. So, you know, a healthy Pender means you've got a kind of a Warrick Dunn, Rock Preston type combination there at the running back position with a big back to do some additional damage.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you with the offensive line and the running back position, all three of those guys, they're going to be really good. And then there's Jonathan Vickers, who everybody, you know, likes back. You have Freddie Stevenson there. But everybody underrates Vickers. The coaches love the kid. And he is great. And I do mean great. He's probably the best receiving back that Florida State has. And that's not an exaggeration. He's better than Cook. He's better than Pender. He's better than Patrick. He has soft hands, and he doesn't drop the football.
So let's move on then to some other discussion on what we're likely to see as a result of that, given the way that the receiver position has been this year, this spring, where they've been underwhelming to say the least so far. There are a couple of 260-pound tight ends where, you know, they can go 21 personnel, put two tight ends on the field, or, you know, go tight end and a fullback, with those backs, and basically you have an Alabama type offense with obviously Nick O'Leary is a big loss at tight end, but they are getting bigger at the tight end spot, and they may be able to seal the edge a little bit better than they've done over the last couple of years with the guys that they have. But again, those guys are young.
I mean, if you're going into run blocking, Jeremy Kerr is the guy you want. He's 6'7", bordering on 6'8", and 280 pounds. I mean, the kid is huge. And, everybody thought that he was going to move to offensive tackle, but he stayed at tight end. And Tim Brewster actually raves about him catching the football. So maybe we'll get to see a little bit of that.
A little bit of Kaz Pulowski there.
Yeah. And then you've got Ryan Izzo and Maven Saunders, who will most likely be the two that are fighting for a regular starting position. Izzo's a better combination of a football player right now. Like, he understands how to play in the offense, what to run, how to block. He's not the most athletic kid in the world, but he's more athletic than Kerr. And he's a better blocker than Maven. So he's basically a combination of what you want in a tight end, just in a little lesser value. I still think he's going to be really good. The problem is that if Maven Saunders ever learns to block properly and wraps his head around the game, he'll be the starter because he's easily the most talented kid at the position.
Honestly, not just the most talented kid at the position. And I know this is, We're on the tail end of just having had the best tight end in school history, but Maven Saunders is the most talented tight end that Florida State's ever had. I don't think there's any question, physically speaking, that Saunders is the most talented guy. I mean, he at 260 pounds, he looks like a receiver running routes at different points, and he is a big, strong dude. When it comes time for inline stuff, he's just got to learn how to put it together. And for him, one of the things that's frustrating is the effort level at times and just, situational awareness and things like that where that's what they're really frustrated with. But as that comes and he's going to get the opportunities, you're looking at a guy who's actually athletically a big step up from what they've had at that position. Nobody liked watching Nick O'Leary more than me, but he is athletically is a different kind of cat, man.
He definitely is. And I would say that the best tight end in Florida State history won't be on campus until next year.
Nauta.
Because, I love me some Isaac Nauta. But Maven, he's got his chance. I mean, he's working there. He was working a lot with the first team today. He's going to have his chances. If he can put it together, then he'll definitely be a dangerous weapon for whoever the quarterback is.
And that can help a quarterback who obviously doesn't have the kind of ability to throw down the field and to threaten defenses the way that Winston did. It certainly helps when you have a tight end you can rely on, particularly in goal line stuff where, again, Saunders is a kid who naturally goes up and plucks the ball, and pulls, and can go up and high point things in the red zone. That's a huge asset to have. But either way, at this point, the offense, I think, actually, even with the center position, with the quarterback position being real question marks at this point and concerns moving forward, the offense is going to, they're going to run an Alabama-type thing. They're going to run through the running back, and they're going to, try to challenge teams downfield, which brings in the question of whether or not you're going to be able to get the downfield threat from receivers that you didn't get this year, even with a Winston. Off play action, whether or not you can go vertical. And that brings in guys like, early enrollee, George Campbell and also Javon Harrison. These are guys that have downfield speed, and they've actually reportedly been more reliable in some respects than some of the guys that you'd expect to be, reliable so far in the spring where the receiver position has been a bit of a disappointment.
Definitely. We've heard great things about Campbell, Javon, Jimbo. The only player on offense that Jimbo Fisher mentioned had a good day after the scrimmage was Javon Harrison. So take for that what you will. Right now the starters are Ermin Lane, Travis Rudolph, and Bobo Wilson. They're not consistent right now. I mean, it's just flat out throw it out there. They're not consistent. A lot of that could come back to quarterbacks not putting the ball in the right spots and them, not being used to that because they had Jameis Winston. But when it comes down to it, they still have to be in those right spots, whether it gets thrown there or not. So those three right now need to get a little bit more consistent. George Campbell and Javon Harrison are going to be the next guys up. They go ever go five wide. Those are the guys you'll see.
And those guys also have more speed than any of the other three. I mean, those two are big. They're both over 6'2", and they're both faster than the other three.
That is correct. I wouldn't expect much from Kermit Whitfield. He's in Dossie's doghouse right now, and he's currently not practicing due to a hamstring injury.
Deservedly in the doghouse right now.
Yes, he is. So don't count on him making any more impacts at Florida State. We got the kick return. Everybody, all the Florida State fans around the country will always love him for the kick return, but I wouldn't expect any more of him.
Yeah, and that kick return was worth five scholarships for him, regardless of what he does moving forward. So it doesn't really matter. But you know, you'd still like to see the kid step forward, get out of the dog, work his way out of the doghouse, and so on. But at this point, I'm not holding my breath. It's also not good for my throat anyway. So let's move to the defensive side of the ball quickly. Obviously, there's no linebackers on the roster at this time. Florida State at this point is looking at playing the innovative 4-0-7 defense, it appears, or maybe a 5-0-6 at different points, because they just don't have any linebackers right now. So it's been a bit of an adventure at that position, which is probably why a good reason why the offense has been having so much success in the running game in practice, where the offense has really been dominating in the running game.
Jimbo, you never know what you're going to get with Jimbo when it comes to what he says about practice. I mean, we've heard that the defensive energy multiple times has outweighed the offensive energy, and that the defense has just kicked their tail. But a lot of that may come from the fact that Jalen Ramsey will kill somebody if they don't put forth effort. So, I mean, you just have to take that for what it's worth. But for the linebacker situation, I mean, you have a guy who was a linebacker coming in Roderick Hoskins, who moved to defensive end and now is back at linebacker. And then you have a guy who came in as a safety who is now working at linebacker. So those are your only two in Tyrell Lyons and Roderick Hoskins.
Yeah, obviously the top two players at that position are both out really for the spring with Terrence Smith and Matthew Thomas, and really neither of those guys needed to take any reps this spring. Would have been nice if Thomas had gotten to take some, but both of them are fighting through some injuries. It is better to have them healthy in the fall, and they both got enough game experience in this defense that the priority is to keep them healthy rather than getting them reps in the spring, where guys tend to get even more banged up. But there's definitely going to be some room for Purifoy, if he's healthy ever coming into the fall, or some of the additions, some of the guys from the 2016 or 2015 recruiting class to make a contribution at that position. But we're not going to see a whole lot there from that position in the spring game, at any rate. But the place where we do have a lot of competition on the defense, and right now a lot of things are up in the air, there are two places. One is up front. It's really going to be interesting coming into the spring game to get a chance to watch the defensive line and see which guys are actually fitting in terms of what they want to do up front, whether or not there's been some improvement on the edge, what you're seeing from some of the guys on the interior, whether some of these younger guys, because this is a very, very talented defensive front in terms of the raw bodies that they have there, but whether or not they're actually stepping forward and doing things, whether we're seeing, the step forward that you expect from a guy like Derek Nnadi, whether or not you're going to see the athleticism win out with a guy like Arthur Williams. There's been actually good reports coming out about Keith Bryant, even, who's the light bulb seemed to go on sometime around January when he realized that he should be the next guy up. Obviously it's a little bit late in the game, but he's been better this spring. So, we'll see if there's some of those things. Ricky Leonard, who's been running with the ones, has as much raw talent in terms of being a 6'7" kid, 260, who has natural explosion. If you get a kid like that on the edge who actually figures it out, he's kind of like your defensive Maven Saunders. He's got a super high ceiling and the ability to do a lot, but you just don't know what you're going to get from him, I think, until the spring. And we haven't, at least I haven't heard a whole lot about what's going on up front. And then you have that second corner. In the secondary, there are a couple guys that, you got to look at. There's still some stuff going on at the safety position with, Derwin James, the early enrollee who's looked terrific. And then, but again, that second cornerback has been pretty interesting, and really Ryan Green has been making a big move there.
Yes, he has. I mean, he's played, he's been playing well. He ran with the first team not so long ago. Marquez White is, he's been holding him off at least until this point, going through the walkthroughs. But Ryan Green's really making a claim and trying to get into that first cornerback spot opposite of Jalen Ramsey. As for the defensive line, you're down to, I mean, you've lost Niall Lawrence Stample. He's been out for the past couple of days. We're not sure if he'll play in the spring game. Derek Mitchell is having back issues. He's not playing. Yeah. DeMarcus Christmas was out today. So the first team defensive tackle position, like, you had Derek Nnadi, who's been running with the ones since Derek Mitchell's been out, and Keith Bryant, who is surprisingly stepping up to the plate here.
And talent has never been his issue.
Absolutely not. I mean, he's definitely one of the most talented kids. If he puts it together upstairs, this becomes an even better defensive tackle group than it already was. And then at the defensive end position, you have DeMarcus Walker and Rick Leonard are the two healthy ones right now. Jacob Pugh and Featherston were both out. Well, Featherston was out with a concussion. Pugh was out with a knee injury. Neither really participated today. So, I mean,
Hewitt had a very good spring so far, from what I've been told.
I've heard the same. And, I mean, so right now you're still without key guys in the position. So we haven't been able to see much. The coaches have been able to plug in the guys behind and see what they have there. So while we won't be able to see how good the starters are on Saturday, we'll be able to see how much depth the team has behind them.
Yeah, and we'll see which ones of those guys actually manage to play on Saturday. It just depends. I mean, obviously with concussions and that sort of thing, it just depends on how quickly they recover. But at any rate, let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and wrap up with three players on each side of the ball that you want to single out. We'll each take three guys on the side of the ball on each side of the ball that you're really looking forward to seeing in the spring game. So start on offense. Who are your three?
On offense, my number one, because I've been on this guy's bandwagon since the moment he set foot on campus, going number one, Jaquez Patrick. Dalvin Cook's going to be in the blue. He's not going to be part of the contact as much. You're going to see a lot of Pender, and you're going to see a lot of Patrick. And I know you're going Pender because that's your boy, so I'm going to take Patrick.
Okay, so my number one actually is not Pender. The number one guy I really want to watch on the offensive side of the ball, and again, we talked, off air before we started recording. This is obviously not including Sean McGuire at the quarterback position. He's obviously, going to be somebody that we're going to be watching a lot. But my number one guy, the guy that I want to watch, elsewhere, is actually going to be Maven Saunders. He's a guy that I think has the chance to be really special. And I want to see what kind of improvement he's made since he stepped on campus with the lights on and with things moving a little bit quicker. I want to see Maven Saunders, as my number one guy aside from that quarterback position.
Right. Number two, it all depends on who plays, because I either want to see Chad Mavity, at right tackle, or Brock Rubble, who's been playing right tackle with Mavity out. So Rubble and Mavity were swapping in and out at the first team today. Rubble has definitely made a push to get that starting job from him. We'll see how it works out. But I want to see, because they're both going to play, I want to see who comes in and who has a better day.
Yeah, that took my number two. I would have said that right tackle position as well. So I'll adjust. And I'll say, I'm actually going to sort of double time here. I'm going to say the two backup wide receivers. I really want to see a little bit. I want to see more from George Campbell and from Juvon Harrison. Because again, Florida State struggled with a vertical threat last year. I want to see what those guys have to offer as vertical threats, as big receivers on the outside. So the combination there, they both are really sitting at the same kind of position. I want to see how those guys look at that spot. So that would be my number two spot.
Number three, I'm going to go with the guy opposite of Maven Saunders. I want to see Ryan Izzo, just because I want to see how well he, you know, I mean, he's been working at it, how well he's running his routes right now, because we know Maven's an athletic freak. But Izzo is the better tight end right now, and I want to see just how good he is and how much ground Maven has to make up.
So my third guy, I'm actually going to go with Jonathan Vickers. I've heard a lot of good things about him. He's a guy that I think the staff likes a lot more than a lot of the recruits did coming to this point. And I want to see where he ends up stacking up in this particular game. I want to see him run a little bit and see sort of where the health of that number four guy in the rotation is at the tailback position. So let's go ahead and switch it to defense. Who's your number one?
My number one is, you know, a guy you mentioned earlier. It's Rick Leonard. I want to see how well he comes out. I want to see him rush the passer. I want to see him drop back into coverage, because that is something that's going to be asked of him. So I just want to see how he performs as a defensive end stand-up outside linebacker.
Yeah, Rick Leonard was my number one, but I'll go ahead and adjust. The next guy on my list was Ryan Green. I really want to see him at that corner position. He has... From some of the word coming out, he may have the best hips in terms of being fluid at that position of anybody on the team. And I want to see how he looks at that cornerback position, because if he is going to take that step forward, that really makes this defense much better. So Ryan Green's the next guy on the list.
My number two, Derwin James. 5-star early enrollee safety, was working with the first team today. Kid's a freak athlete. If they were not wearing numbers and they had helmets on, you could not tell the difference between him and Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, he's actually a little thicker than Jalen, but yeah, very similar. And he would have been on my list without a doubt. But I think the next one on my list is going to be Arthur Williams. He's a backup. At this point, a backup defensive tackle, but he has some of the best physical talent of anybody on the roster at that defensive tackle spot. I want to see him get to move around a little bit and see if he can actually be disruptive on the defensive interior.
I'm also going with the defensive interior with my next guy. I want to see Keith Bryant. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't think that he would be anywhere near the starting position for the spring game coming into this spring. I didn't expect, honestly, I was concerned that he wouldn't even be on the roster at this point. Just because, you know, everybody, Nottie and Christmas had passed him up. So I just want to see how he comes out. I've heard great reviews of his play this spring. I want to see just how far he's come in this game.
Yeah, so the third guy, since you've taken two of mine so far, the third guy I'm going to go with is actually DeMarcus Walker. DeMarcus Walker has been somebody who, you know, he struggled last year. He got pushed around at times. He gave up the edge at times. And again, word out of camp has been that he's shown some improvement so far, and I don't know whether that's, you know, Brad Lowing's results of a change at coaching that position or what at this point, but I do want to see whether or not there's actually been a positive improvement at that spot. Because again, Florida State really struggled on the edge last year, gave up too many plays, on the edge. And some of that was Walker. And I want to see whether or not that's going to be a little bit better this year than it was last year. So those would be the three on each side of the ball that Trey and I have flagged to watch. So go ahead and watch those guys closely. Other than that, I don't know that there's really a whole lot more to discuss. You have anything specific before we wrap?
No, not really. I mean, we pretty much given a basic overall. Like I said, we could go for hours, you know, on guys like Dalvin Cook, you know, Jaquez, Derwin. We could talk about this stuff for hours, but we'll keep it short and simple.
I couldn't talk about it for hours right now, thanks to my throat, but yes.
We'll let you do it in Morse code.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at any rate, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. On behalf of Wayne, Trey McGahee, and the rest of the Knoll Digest crew, this is Jason Staples signing off. We'll talk to you again after the spring game. I made this.